Wild courage exists to galvanize a generation of men. The tools and courage to fight for what matters most. And tell the stories that are born in the redemption of lives and souls.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Wild Courage Podcast. Today, no stranger to the podcast, my brother Seth Dahl is jumping on with me, and we thought that we would kind of recap our retreat that just happened a couple weeks ago and visit about that a little bit. So thanks for jumping on again with me, buddy. Appreciate it.
Of course. So awesome to be back. I love it.
Yeah. So Seth now lives in Florida, flew up for our retreat. And historically at our retreats, I think this was our fifth or sixth one. It's always been about story, right? Wild Courage is about story. It's about being seen and heard in a place where you know nobody's going to, it's not going to get out what's talked about, especially at retreats, right? It's just a space where guys can come and process their story and have 2 hours. Like, where in the world these days does a guy get to sit down with a group of his peers, two or three other guys, and share his story for 2 hours without being judged or ridiculed or feel ashamed? And that's historically what our retreats have been, which you've been to one before. So
yeah, it is amazing.
Got to experience that. And I was feeling, especially after the last retreat, Seth, we talked about a little bit, but I felt like, man, some of these guys are coming and it's like, for the first time, the theme often is that in this space, especially with the retreats, is, man, I shared something I thought I would take to my grave.
Yeah.
And so there's this like open heart surgery that happens. And then we're like, we're really proud of you. You're amazing. Good luck.
Yeah.
And we send them home. And I've started feeling convicted, like, man, are we doing more harm than good? And I think that Wild Courage has gotten really good at sitting with guys. We're not afraid of mess. We're not afraid to hear of guys' pain. And over the last year, talking with you and you training and leading people in grief recovery is when you were like, man, we should do a grief recovery and cram like 7 weeks into a weekend.
Yeah.
And so it was very exciting because, like I said, it was the first time that we had a themed retreat. Like, we're going to go after grief. And what I felt like we've been missing in the years past was tools. Like, okay, I shared my story. Now what?
Yeah.
And that's what we got to do
A
couple weekends ago.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to, it was very similar, but different at the same time of like
okay, structured.
Yeah. We're going to structure it a little bit more. We're going to hear your story. You're going to choose one relationship or area to work on. And then but very, very similar. Like, you're going to share it. We're going to listen. We're going to follow the Lord on what to do or what not to do with you, but we're going to make sure you're heard. And then we're going to give you the tools to actually bring emotional completion. So like, you leave all sewn up in one area, like one relationship, one part, the part of your story that you opened, now you're actually sewed back up when you're going home. You're not like open heart surgery and out on your own good luck. Like, what you were feeling is like, oh, I actually have completion in this area. And the way we set it up too was, I now can see all the other areas of my story that need more work, but I now have the tools to go and work on those even more and bring more emotional completion to my life instead of just emotional, like, here it is. Like, what do I do about it? That's what we got to with the tools, was like, here's what you actually do about this. Here's the three components you need for emotional completion, and now you have all the areas you can work on going forward.
Yeah, I loved it because it's like you gave us all a template. Like, let's say you could choose one relationship and you chose your dad, but you're like, man, there's things I need to do, work on with my grandpa and my mom and my siblings or a coworker or a marriage that failed or a relationship that failed. And what you did with the tools you gave us is you really gave us a template where now guys can go back and do the work and say, okay, I need to write a timeline and all the things we went through. But instead of doing dad this time, I need to do my ex-wife or my wife or a loved one that's passed away or whatever, that relationship or event, right? You kind of, because of our time capacity, you kind of had everyone for this exercise choose a relationship. But in what we're learning in trauma and grief, it's like there's events that happen that create a lot of grief also that you could use the same structure on, right?
Absolutely. I had a friend who went through this, and when he was done, he said, if the church would go through this, 90% of our problems would go away. And he asked me, he said, can I work on a season in my life where I lived in a certain place? Like, I had this one season, a few years. And so he did the same steps, same structure through this season of his life. And it, like, I don't know how to describe it to you. Like, it opened up all this new stuff for his company, for his future, for his life, for relationships. And it had everything to do with where he lived at this certain point in his life. And now this whole thing is open to him. And it was like, oh, he took the same tools and just worked on a season. And I've done that with organizations. I've done it with past business partners. I've done it with ministries that I worked at before. Like, oh, this was a 4-year span. I need to actually work on this 4-year span. And all, you know, there's like 50 relationships involved in there, but I'm doing it strictly with the ministry and working through that whole section of my life. So you can do events, you can do seasons, you can do companies, you can do careers. Like, you know, it's a huge grieving process when people switch careers. Like, I worked here for 15 years and I love these people deeply. Now I'm moving into my dream. So I have those conflicting emotions. Like, I'm really happy I'm moving into my dream and my calling, but I'm really sad I'm leaving all these people I've been with for 15 years and I love them deeply. And I'm really, it's painful. And so there's those conflicting emotions. Like, yeah, you could do that as well. It's amazing. Once you have the steps and the process, it's really amazing what you can do with it and who or what you can work on. It's gold.
Yeah. One of the things of my takeaways from not just the retreat, but the work that we do in Wild Courage with sitting with men is like, there is so many ass kicking life experiences that have happened. And there are a lot of good men walking around in this country and on this planet that just have never grieved hard things and great loss. And so the lens in what they look at the world at now is so skewed that it's like, no wonder that they're showing up the way that they are.
Yeah. And that's what we... One of the things we talked about was like, we all had myths that we believe about this type of stuff, about grief. And, oh, you got your ass kicked here. And if one of the myths is it just takes time.
And yeah, time heals all wounds.
Yeah, time heals all wounds. So we wait and we wait and we wait. And we start doing things to feel better, which are those short-term energy-relieving behaviors. So we identified those of like, some guys go to porn, some guys go to sex, some guys go to alcohol, some guys go to drugs, some guys go to exercise, some guys go to shopping. We identified those. It's like, oh, yeah. And a lot of times what happens is we're waiting for time to heal it, not realizing time, it's not time that heals it, it's the proper steps taken in time. And so we end up doing these things to feel better, to relieve our energy, to relieve the emotions, not realizing like, oh yeah, no wonder I show up that way because this is what I do to feel different. This is what I do to get a little bit of relief from this event or this relationship or this thing that happened in my life. I'm just trying to relieve pressure. Of course you end up that way. And so that was one of the first things we did was go, let's look at what we believe that keeps us from processing our emotions fully. And then let's look at what we do to try to get the pressure off. And instead of going to those things anymore, now we learn how to process them properly. So we're not just relieving them, but they're sitting inside all the time. Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it was so cool to like put the front end on it again of what we're good at Wild Courage, of sitting with men in great deep sorrow and pain. But then to me, it felt like rescue, right? Of like, here's how we're going to process through this.
Yeah.
And at the end of this, how that message is going to be delivered that's been painfully sitting in our souls for all of our lives. And to see men from all different ages, all different backgrounds show up. And I remember having a conversation with one of the guys at the retreat who was like, man, at the end of the day, when we get past like all the social structures of what we do for a living and all that, like I wouldn't probably talk to this guy ever if I met him on an airplane or on the street. But man, we're a lot closer. We have a lot more in common than I thought. And I love that we're breaking down these barriers that we think we have with people because we have different occupations than them, right? And it's like, man, what beautiful compassion happens when we strip all that back and realize that guy's gone through a lot and a lot of pain. And I see you. And I see you in that. Something powerful happens in that exchange.
I think that's one of my favorite things about Wild Courage is we're not allowed to tell each other what we do for work. It's just the rule. Here's the rule. And it opens everybody up to, like, one of the guys, the language he used was, all of our guys came out swinging. Like, they just went full on right away. There was no, because there is no ability to hide behind or perform for each other or compare each other based on what we do. There's just, I love that about Wild Courage. And it just creates an environment where guys come out swinging full on, here's my life, here's my story, here's my stuff. Man, it opens them up so fast and so deep. I think that's my favorite part, probably.
Yeah, it's pretty cool because, like we talked about, and why we do that is because if you socially go to a party, there's a bunch of dudes standing around that don't know each other, that's what we all hide behind. So what do you do for a living? Yeah. And then it starts creating this social structure and hierarchy of like, I'm probably better than that guy, or oh crap, that guy, he makes more money than me based on what he does for a living, probably. So I feel less than.
Yeah.
And so depending on where you fall in that pyramid, it's like, oh, I don't feel great about myself because I just met this guy and he's an engineer.
Yeah.
And I know he makes more money than me and has a bigger house and a bigger truck and his marriage is probably better. And we start creating these narratives, right?
Yeah.
It's crap. It doesn't mean anything. And so it is fun that we kind of eliminate that right off the bat. And then we are forced to sit in, like we say, we don't care what you do for a living. We care about who you're becoming, right? Yeah. And that kind of, I think, gives the invitation to guys to be like, well, I'm here. I might as well jump in. And I think in every group, every guy just like, all it takes is one guy to go first. And it creates like, all right. He's antied up. I gotta go too. So yeah, it creates a pretty cool atmosphere of guys being real and honest and open to, I think, really not being judged and just being heard.
Yeah.
And then again, what you brought to the table was like, here's the steps that we're going to go do. And you need to go right and spend time by yourself and really soak in the process of all the things we've all been running and hiding from most of our whole entire life. And so it did bring a lot of pain up, but we invited it in an environment in which, oh, there's a system in which we're going to put all this in and there's healing at the end, but you got to push through the scary hard part, right?
Yeah.
And that was really cool to get to see a bunch of strangers walk through the door, most of which didn't know each other. And we were always careful to put people in groups, if they did come with a buddy, not in the same group.
Yeah.
And to see the brotherhood that comes out of the other side is something that's incredible. And to see at the end, everybody exchanging numbers. And because at some level, Seth, I think so many of us just feel like we're alone in this. And like, man, nobody would ever understand what I'm going through. And then to sit in those small groups and hear guys' great, great heartache they've been through. And like, man, my pain's different than yours, but I see you.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Yeah. And I'm for you. And again, no judgment. There's something powerful that happens just in that exchange that's pretty cool to see.
Yeah. It's so, and that's one of the main elements that I said at the retreat too, of grief recovery, is like, and this is what you guys have done for years so well, is like, grief recovery basically comes down to undelivered communications of an emotional nature. And we're now in this group where we get to deliver these communications, and someone's actually listening, not trying to fix us, not trying to give us advice, not trying to throw scripture at us, not trying to tell us what's next, not trying to tell us we're going to be okay. Not any of that stuff. Just actually hearing our hearts, because the heart needs to be heard, not fixed. And that's what Wild Courage has always done. So amazing. And for, I just came in and go, here's some language around that. Here's some structure around that. Here's what this means. Here's what this does. Here's why this is important. I think it was to watch them. Yeah. They came in strangers and they left like deep, deep friends. Like, especially the guys who were like, I was never going to tell anyone this. I was going to take this to my grave. Like, I just opened my heart deeper to you than I've opened up to anyone ever before. And now you know me deeper than anyone ever before, different than anyone ever before. And now you're like brothers before you even know it. It's like 2 days later, you're like, you're really my brother, because we had a heart connection that was so strong, so fast, versus all the other stuff that prevents us from building those connections and having them up. It was, yeah, being heard is so crucial. And communicating and having someone listen, pure gold for these guys.
Yeah, it was obviously a powerful weekend. And just to see guys leave like with a weight lifted at a varying degree, and the hope that they left with, it was like so refreshing to my soul of like, man, are we doing more damage than good? And the response and feedback of like, I'm a different man going home. And then, yeah, just to see the relationships that were built, because like we said, I've said a thousand times, but like the real risk in all of this, Seth, I think, is if you really knew me, there's no way you could like me. Like, love's not even on the table.
Right.
But even accept me. If you really knew what's been done to me and what I've done because of what's been done to me, the messes I've made, the people I've hurt, like the shame that's associated with the things I've done because of what was done to me. And I think, again, the no judgment part of all of this is, it just annihilates shame. To tell someone that thing you're going to take to your grave.
Yeah.
And it's met back with compassion and tears of like, man, that must have been hard. Even the messes you made, like being seen with grace and compassion in that.
Yeah.
I just saw the shame, because I've experienced it in my own life. I just feel the shame gets eaten up and it goes away.
Yeah.
Now, there's some work to do to keep it from coming back, but in that moment of that raw, real nature of what our retreats are and the fires and all of Wild Courage, right, is like, take a chance on some complete strangers that are going to sit with you in this. And I loved how you said, like, we're not here to fix anyway, because you're not broken. There's nothing wrong with you. We're not here to fix you. No, and some of the other things that you taught us, Seth, that really convicted me as a dad, was like how we go into fix it mode, which and then what it's doing is we're teaching people around us how to stuff their emotions, right? Like handing someone a Kleenex. We're doing it out of kindness, but what we're saying is like, I'm very uncomfortable with your emotions right now. Please stop. Here's a Kleenex.
Yeah.
Right? Like some of those things were super powerful.
Yeah.
As a parent.
Yeah. It's one of those things like it can accidentally be interpreted wrong. You know, like emotions are interpreters. So they're either interpreting what was said or they're interpreting in a different way. And it's like speaking a different language. But like a lot of times when a guy opens up and he's crying and you hand him a tissue, it can be interpreted as don't feel bad. I'm not comfortable with your emotions here. Stop that. And it's like, oh, I just meant for this to be helpful to you, not to tell you to stop, but it can get interpreted wrong because the emotions are so much there when they're sharing that part of their story that it's like, so yeah, so don't touch them on the shoulder. Don't hand them a tissue. Don't even say anything most of the time. Just listen to what they're saying and cry with them, laugh with them. I can't tell you how many times I laughed and cried. Like we're laughing about hilarious stuff that happened. And then we're crying. Two minutes later, we're crying so hard with these guys just being there. One of my guys that he said one of the most powerful things for him was just when he finished reading his letter, because we end up writing a letter to bring completion, a completion letter. We never give it to the person. We never share it with the person. This is not for the person to read or get. It's for our hearts to get all the stuff out. And so he read the letter and he said the most powerful thing for him was when he finished his letter, he could hear us all crying. And then he looks up and we're all just crying with him. We're all just with him in it. Like, man, we were so messed up from that. I mean, I cried with all my guys and I think I laughed with all my guys, but it was communicating. You're allowed to feel what you feel and we're going to be with you and we're not going to fix. We're not going to criticize. We're not going to judge. We're not going to tell you to stop. We're going to let you keep going until you get this out. And that was profound for me, was how rocked he was just by having other guys cry with him about this deep loss in his life. And yeah, no one fixed anything. We just listened to him and it fixes so much. And as a dad, it's like, yeah, a lot of times we try to fix, not realizing we're, you know, it's like when the solution is worse than the problem, to steal a phrase from recent times, like sometimes the solution is worse than the problem. And it's like sometimes fixing it just makes them shove it down in there and keep it. And it's like that just makes problems later. It might get them a kid to, you know, behave a certain way or get their chores done or get in bed. But in long term, it's just shoved down in there. And at some point it comes out. So learning that stuff as dads too is super powerful. Like one of the best things I can do to fix anything is stop trying to fix it and just listen. I just had it last night with my boy. I just had it last night. They were playing baseball and he got in trouble with his coach and he was really sad, scared, angry, confused. And I just asked him questions and let him talk. I'm like, yeah, I could totally see how you would feel that. And then after we talked, he was like, yeah, and I feel really scared to go play baseball again because there's all this pressure. And we had a great talk about how to build internal pressure. I just told him a story. Maybe I'm rabbit trailing a little bit, but I told him a story about how I used to travel with a glass French press for my coffee because I love to have my coffee with me when I traveled. So I would carry a French press. I didn't know about AeroPresses. I didn't know. I had this glass French press. And I said, what I would do, I said, if I just put it in my bag, the pressure from outside, another bag lands on it, you know, they're tossing it around. or maybe there's 10 bags stacked on top of it. That external pressure will crush the glass and I'll show up with a broken glass. And all my clothes got shattered glass all over them. And I said, I would take clean socks and I would shove them in there and I would make the internal pressure greater than the external pressure. And I could fly all around the world with my glass French press and it never broke because I knew how to put internal pressure. So I was talking to him after I heard him, you know, let him share all the stuff he was feeling from the game and then share his future. You know, he's worried about the future. He's worried about batting next time because this is where the All-Stars are decided. This is where it's decided. If we win, we're the best team in the whole city. If we lose, we're not. And he's feeling all this pressure. And I said, we got to build internal pressure. We got to build internal pressure. So when you get up there, and you're ready to swing, that pressure is still going to be there. It's all going to be there. But we have something else that pushes back and keeps it from breaking you and getting you to, you're no longer stuck in fear. You've got something inside keeping the fear back. And it was amazing. We had this whole conversation, but like it started with, I'm listening to him, asking more questions than I'm giving any advice. I gave him no advice at first. I'm just asking and listening and listening and listening. And then he shared that. And I was in a place to go, oh, here's what I did. Here's what I do. Here's how this can help you. But now he was open. That's one thing that's powerful too, is like people become open to our input when it's not unsolicited. Dads are really good at giving unsolicited advice, but if I listen to you first, then you will want and welcome my advice, and any barrier comes down for me going, oh, here's how we can handle that. Here's what we build inside of you so that pressure doesn't break you. You can resist it all when you get up to bat. But it's like now it's solicited advice. It's not unsolicited anymore. And so that's what listening does, is pull down resistance. So they're like, yeah, help me. Okay, we got it.
That's so good.
Quick little rabbit trail.
No, that's, I love it. It's so good. And it's the fruit of it is the fruit. I know there's going to be some guys listening to this, like, I ain't going to one of those retreats. You guys sit around and cry. And I just want to say this. I invite, everything's invitation, right? I invite you to take an inventory of your relationships. This is what I had to do. Is your wife or kids scared, afraid, not sure of the man that is going to walk through the door every night? Because for a long time, my wife didn't know which version of me was going to walk through the door. Now, did getting together with a bunch of guys and cry fix all that? No, but it was a huge part of it. It was a huge part of being seen and heard and going on the journey of getting some tools and some help, because we're such circumstantial being, right? Like if you have a bad day at work, how many men can recalibrate their emotions and process them before they walk in the back door? And this is what we're talking about. It's like, we got to go on the journey of finding some completion, some wholeness, get some tools to self-regulate our own emotions, because we're such circumstantial beings that, man, it was no wonder I drank. Yeah. I was so defensive and I cared so much about what everybody thought that if I felt any rejection at all, it just tipped me over and the world was against me. And so I would come home and take that out on my wife.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, so if this is all too mushy and sissy for anyone, like, that's fine. I get it. But I would ask you to do a realistic inventory of, look around at the relationships of your life. How do people show up to you? Do your kids come to you when they're scared, or do they hide from you? When your wife knows based on a phone call that you've had a bad day? Is Gian pins and needles when you get home? Are your kids put up and put away because the man that's about to walk in might be a monster? Like, these are the stakes we're talking about. These are some of the pathways to get to a place where, because at the end of the day, what really matters in life is relationships, right? Like, what else do we have?
Yeah.
All the other things come and go. It's all going to get burned up anyway.
Yeah.
But the people in our proximity, how are they experiencing us? Are we stable? Do we carry peace? Can people come to us and feel safe to be like, hey, you said something the other day that crushed me? Like, for my kids, my sons, to check in with me in that way and be like, especially my younger ones, well, all of them, like, hey, Dad, that really hurt my feelings when you said this. And I'm like, oh man, that wasn't my intention, but I can totally see how I did.
Yeah.
Again, more invitation to clean up those messes. So to me, this is what this journey does, is you talk about releasing this energy, like, it's going to come out somewhere. Yeah. And we can white knuckle it. You can pour whiskey down it. You can pour porn down it, or more like you alluded to, socially acceptable things. You can go to the gym, you can work out, you can run, you can work harder. But if it's all to avoid that energy that's got to come out somewhere, like, this is the pathway to get healing in those areas, right? So that you're not showing up the same old way that you always have to the people that you're supposed to be protecting and caring for and guiding in this life.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that should be our ultimate goal, is that the people that are closest to us respect us the most. And like, that's what I've seen a lot, is like, some guys just want everyone else to respect them, and their kids and their wife are like on the pins and needles, scared of them. It's like, oh, that's the goal, somehow got perverted. The goal somehow got switched. Like, no, I want the people closest to me at the end of my life to respect me most, more than anyone else. I want to do better. I want to succeed everywhere, but I don't want to succeed everywhere else at the expense of my family, at the expense of those closest to me. I want that to be my goal. Yeah. What do you have at the end? Your relationship.
I heard a clip from Jordan Peterson. He said, at the end of the day, the most valuable commodity that we have is that. Money fluctuates, right? Yeah. Inflation, it rises, it falls. The only real equity we have is relationally. How do people respect us? How do they show up for us? What kind of integrity do we have? Like, our name, does it mean anything? Do we show up when we say we're going to do? And for me, until I went on this journey, you couldn't trust me with anything unless you wanted to get drunk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, so I just love that kind of line of thinking of like, what do I bring to the table? And have the courage to honestly evaluate ourselves and be like, man, I don't show up the way that I'd really like to, and I'm scared. Yeah. And I'll admit that I'm afraid because I don't know why. This whole journey started for me with asking myself, why do I show up the way that I do?
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, a decade later, I'm still trying to figure most of it out, but my kids aren't afraid of me and my wife's not afraid of me.
Yeah.
So you made a lot of progress. Well, and the cool thing about you, Jeremy, and we chatted about this just for a second before we jumped on, like, this is what's so awesome to me, is like, you're over here leading this whole thing of like, yeah, we cry together. We can cry together. And we're not afraid of that. And then yesterday, or whenever it was, a couple of days ago, you're out there roping calves with a lasso and branding them. And you're like, I love cowboy shit. I love it. And like, you're like this guy that is so manly. And how you express that with your family, how you express that with other men, how you invite other men into that. That's what my one friend, he came to the retreat too. It was his first time. And he was like, the thing that wrecks me the most, because he grew up around horses. He grew up around cowboys. He grew up all around that world. And He was like, I've never seen cowboys and emotional health in the same human. Like, I've never seen it. Cowboys are always hard. Cowboys are always closed up. Cowboys are always, yeah, because you just move on. You just suck it up and move on, and you never process out your stuff. Well, then the problem is you go express it everywhere else, or you express it somewhere, but you never really process it. But he was so rocked going, these are real cowboys. These are real. Lasso the calves and brand them while you're riding a horse, running around on a horse, lassoing calves and then branding them. Like, that's a real man. And you can cry with the best of them and help other men cry and be there for them. Like, come on, what a beautiful thing of healthy, what a beautiful picture of like healthy masculinity that you can do both of those things simultaneously. And just because you can cry doesn't mean you're a wuss or a sissy or any of that. No, you're out there in the heat, in the sun, roping calves. Like, come on.
Yeah, it is a picture. And I feel like that's why I got over the like caring what people thought of me thing, because what people don't know is the phone calls that I get and the messages from like our community. The cowboy community is extremely small and they're hurting and they're drinking themselves to death and killing themselves in a very large rate. And it breaks my heart. And so I'll risk the fool of crying in front of other people and all that we're doing because I love this community so much. And it kills me to see my heroes that I grew up admiring in the cowboy world that are crippled, broke, addicted, and alone. And again, the invitation in this all is like, it doesn't have to be that way. Maybe some of those things, maybe you're going to be broke and you might be crippled because that comes with the job. But maybe if you go on this journey, you won't have to spend the end of your life alone with four ex-wives. Like, you can still be a masculine man, whether it's a cowboy or a fisherman or a hunter or I don't care what it is. The healthy version of that is like a gift to any community that you're in. Whatever community you're in, again, the invitation is, what does a healthy version of you look like? And maybe it's not crying. Maybe it's not a retreat. Maybe it's getting some help. Whatever it is, you're worth it. You're worth fighting for. And you're not alone. Because whatever you've experienced, there's somebody out there that feels like they're alone too, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes you get in these communities like we're building around the fires, and it's like, I've had so many guys just tell me that, Seth, like, I just needed to know that I wasn't alone.
Yeah.
And there's some dude I don't know sitting across the fire from me that just said what and articulated and put words to something I've felt for 20 years. Oh, feels good not to be alone.
Yeah.
So with all that being said, one of the things we talked about in putting this retreat together was you crammed in like 6 or 7 weeks into a weekend, right?
Yeah.
To do this retreat. And a big part of where I see the vision of Wild Courage going, especially with in the retreat space, is aftercare. Meaning, we're not just going to do open heart surgery and send you home. We're going to give you tools. But for those interested in doing the course that we just kind of loosely talked about healing and unprocessed pain and grief recovery, you offered the Wild Courage community at large, a course. So do you want to unpack that a little bit?
Yeah. So grief recovery is normally a 7-week deal where we meet every week for an hour to 2 hours. A lot of times it's two, most of the time it's 2 hours for for 7 weeks straight, and we go through everything, and we work on one relationship during those 7 weeks. But you come out with the tools for all other relationships and a good graph of everywhere I have loss and grief in my life and pain in my life. And so we, yeah, you were like, I really want to do aftercare for these guys. So normally we do, like, it's anywhere from $700 to $1,000 for a person to go through the 7 week course. But for Wild Courage, I was like, you know what, let's just invite guys. And so we did $300 for anyone who wants to go through. So we just discounted it really big, and we're going to start May 28th. We're going to start, and we're going to go for it. And I think we may miss a week in there simply because I have travel, but it'll give more time for homework, and everyone's going to get a book. Everyone's going to go through the book together. We're going to do the full on course. We're not cramming it in. We're not shoving it in. There's no rush. You know, we did a really good job, I think, in the weekend of, like, not rushing. We had some time constraints, but no one felt like they were scrambling to try to get it done, which is never a good idea with this stuff. You don't want to scramble or rush. You want to take your time and think. And if you pray, you want to pray, and you want to go into it with everything that you have. And so we're going to do the 7 weeks coming up real soon, and we're going to go for it. And it'll be Wild Courage guys from all over the place in this. We've already got some signed up from the retreat. They've already signed up. They're already in.
Awesome. Let's go. So that's a testament to the course. The guys that already did the short version of this at the retreat have already signed up because it's so impactful and powerful. They want more. And also, just like logistically in the group, on Zoom or however you present the course, there'll be a link and you can jump on and do the course with everyone. But in when you're doing the work, you'll break everybody out into small groups, right? Just kind of like we did at the retreat.
Yeah. Yeah. So all the guys at the retreat, I'm going to put them in their same small groups. So like you and I will chat and we'll get everybody in the right group. So like you can have your guys. I can have my guys. We'll put them all together because they just started this journey together. It's like, well, now you have 7 more weeks to keep going with these same guys. You already trust them. You already know they're not going to judge you. You're already good. And everyone else, we'll put them in groups, and there'll be time in every group to break in every class, not every class, but later, in the later weeks, we will break up into those groups and crack it open, share it, and get that stuff out and bring completion to those emotions that have been sitting in there for however long. Yeah. I had emotions when I first did this. I had emotions come up, big ones, like we call it emotional energy. I had so much energy around this one situation in my childhood that came out. It came out so hard, so fast, and it surprised me because I never would have thought there was that much there. And I had been carrying that for 34 years it had been in there, and I never saw it, and it all came out. I wept for 40 minutes straight in my house. My family was at church because I was going through all this, and they're all at church, and I was just a bawling mess for 40 minutes because of it. But it was, that's what we look for, is where's the energy, and let's teach you how to get it out so it's not sitting in there. Because otherwise, you know, it's like people are like, yeah, I got triggered. Yeah, because you got all this emotion in there waiting for, it's like a bunch of gunpowder just sitting in your heart. And all it needs is your kid to spark it, or your wife to spark it, or your boss to spark it, or your coworker to spark it, or some dude on the road you never even met to spark it. And bam, you have all this gunpowder go off. It's like, oh, let's start cleaning up the gunpowder. Let's start getting it out of there so you're not a walking, ticking time bomb just looking for a spark.
So it's so good. One of the other things I'm super excited about is Wild Courage has always been kind of centered around men and this mission. And with this course, this is the first offering ever from Wild Courage that women can join, spouses can get together. even because there's a lot of women that listen to this podcast, I've found out. Shout out to all the women that are going along with us and learning about why their husbands do some of the stupid stuff that we do. Is it's invitation too. If you want to sign up with your husband, or if you want to sign up and you're a gal, we're going to have separate groups for you to process with, and we'll put you in a group with women where you get to be seen and heard, which Seth and I've talked, and our whole Wild Courage team. Someday there will be a women's branch and vein of Wild Courage when the time's right, because I feel like women would do so good with this and need it too. Wow. So that's coming down the road someday, but I'm super stoked because, again, this is our first offering for women to join in this journey of some grief recovery and stuff. So with that being said, I'm going to put the link to sign up for this in the show notes of this podcast, and we'll do it with some social media stuff as well. But if you're interested in signing this up, it'll be in the show notes of the podcast. But bro, I'm so stoked.
Me too.
That, and so grateful for you and what you carry and offer us. And just to clarify, this course is only for Christians, right?
No, not at all. No.
Wait, what?
No, anyone can go through this. Atheist, Hindu, Buddhist, anyone can go through this for sure. So you don't have to be a Christian. You don't even have to believe in God. One of our guys at the retreat was like, I'm not in a good spot with God. I'm like, okay, good. Like, at least you're real. At least you're being honest about this. And I'd rather have you be honest than have you come over here and pretend like everything's good and everything's fine. And it was like, yeah, anyone is welcome in this for sure.
Hold on. Yeah. I said that kind of tongue in cheek because I think people often think that we're this, you know, I don't call it a ministry because I don't like that language for what we do, because that excludes people. And we have brothers that come to our fires and our retreats that are openly agnostic.
Yeah.
And I've asked them, why do you come? Because we don't feel judged by you guys. We feel loved by you guys. So I'm just doubling down on that. We don't care where you're at with any of it.
Yeah.
You're welcome here. You're welcome at a fire. You're welcome at our retreats. You're welcome in this course. Again, there's no judgment. There's no shame.
Yeah.
And come as you are.
It's about the time. It's about what time the Christians are seeing that.
Yeah. Come as you are. Yeah. So, and we're not trying to convert anybody or do any weird, slippery, sneaky stuff like that. Just show up the way you are and join us in becoming the men that our families and our communities and the world needs. I've said this at the retreat. This is how we're going to change the planet. Is one man saying yes, getting healthy, getting whole, showing up, becoming the dad that he was created to be, the dad that he didn't get, so that his kids don't have to go through the trauma that he went through. Because at some point we get healthy enough, this conversation has to be about our grandkids. Yeah. I got young kids. I got 10 years till I'm an empty nester. So these 20-year-old men that are coming and going on this journey, I told some young men that I met with that are graduating from college last weekend, I need you young men to go on this journey, because I have little boys that need men like you out there leading the charge and making a difference in our community and in our state and in our country and in our culture.
Yeah.
So let's go. Let's go change the world. And I think it starts with one dude saying, I'm going to give up my pride. I don't care. I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of showing up to the people I love, this broken, triggered man that's fragile inside. So I got to be tough on the outside.
Yeah.
That's how I think we're going to change the planet.
Yeah.
And it starts with jumping in. And this is a beautiful opportunity. So Seth Dahl, you're my brother. I love you. I'm so grateful for you and locking arms with us in this journey and in this fight. So everybody that hears this, take a step forward, a leap in faith.
Yeah.
Come on. Come sign up. Let's go. Let's do this. Let's get healthy.
Yeah. I love it.
Right on.
Come on. Thank you again, Jeremy. I love this.
Thank you.
I love it. Good. I love you. I love all the Wild Courage guys. Oh, man. My heart is so full and happy. And
my other big takeaway, and then we'll get off here, is I drive down that mountain and I cannot believe these badass men that I get to do life with, and you've got to know them. It blows my mind. All the guys that say yes and come up and give of their time to support our mission and be leaders. Like, I love all you guys so much. You're powerful men. You make me a better husband and father and man being in your presence.
Come on. I know. Yeah. They're amazing.
Yeah.
You got some of the best friends in the world. It's good.
So true.
You know?
Right on. All right, guys. Well, thanks again, Seth. And guys, again, this will all be in the show notes, the link to sign up. Adios for now. Thanks.
Bye.